no more light bulbs. We got light bulbs. We missing people. So the need is, let's go get some people. That's what Bob said. Bob said, let's lift up and magnify Jesus. Check, Bob got that part. But again, we come to worship and won't worship. We're going to have communion here today. And some folk don't want to have communion. Not excited about it, not looking forward to it. We got to give today. And some folk ain't ready to give. What does the Bible say about giving? Set aside at the first of the week that which belongs to God. And every Sunday, folks in there doing this. That's disobedience. See, again, if you can't do the simple things, you're not ready to give. If you were ready to give, you were ready to give. It's no more. How many of y'all remember this? In high school, you had to do a project, and the teacher said, everybody bring your homework up here. And somebody back there doing this. And the teacher said, don't bring that up here. I've collected all I'm collecting. See how y'all looking at me? That's how they felt. People get mad. Well, she could have took it. No. You were told a long time ago what to do. You're going to wait till the last minute because you don't want to do it my way and want to do it your way. And you get mad at us because we said, no, that's what we said we're going to do. It's called agreement. Turn to Matthew 18. See, I know this stuff. Matthew 18. And here's the reality, saints. We ain't the first one tried this. It works for every other ministry that wants it to work. They ain't got no magic formula. They didn't rub no genies. They didn't get no three wishes. You know what they did? They said, Bob is our guy. Where Bob say, that's what we going to do. Because Bob knows what he's doing. We've seen his work before. We trust him. Remember, there's a trust and belief that that's the guy. One of the biggest dynamics in broken church unity is that the people think they call the pastor. All right. Say it, pastor. And you don't. God ain't going to trust you with that. First of all, God can't trust you with a whole lot of other stuff he gave you. Why would he give you his prize? Pastors are God's prize. Read your Bible. He said, these are my foot soldiers. I'm going to cover them. I'm going to guard them. I'm going to set an anointing over them. So if you touch them and hurt them, I'm coming after you. And not only am I coming after you, but I'm coming after your family. Read your Bible. He said, yo, you kill my prophets, I'm going to kill your children. I'm going to dry up your fields. Your wells going to go dry because you kill my prophets. He asked, what'd you do to my prophets? And the people hung their head in shame. Say, everybody look at me. Matthew 18, everybody there? Look, come down to verse 19. And so, in order to, you know, I ain't making this up. I'll ask that everybody get there. Everybody there? Okay. I'm waiting on the last page I heard turning. Okay. I tell you also this. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Is that simple? He said, I'm telling you this. If any two of you, it don't have to be the minister, the deacon, the deacon. He said, if any two of you can get your heads together and agree on anything, God says, I will ensure that you lack no good thing. Now, again, what are you saying? They trust and believe. They know there's a need. That there's a willingness. There's a flexibility. There's a common objective. But they know who to ask. They know who their guy is. They know where their source is. And so Jesus says to us, to every one of us, if y'all just get yourself together, stop hating each other, stop being divided over trivial things, and just realize that the power of your success is in agreement with somebody else. You are not here alone. You ain't gonna make it by yourself. So come down and agree. Meet me in the field. Meet me wherever you need and say, he said, if any two of you, if you can just, he said, my Father is waiting to bless you. And all you got to do is say, you know what? Yes, we can. Here's another thing I thought about. I hope y'all wrote those other five down. Here's another thing I thought about. And this is the stark reality. Again, I'm just going to ride honesty till I run out of gas with it. But here's the other thing. Maybe sometime we need to recognize that we're working with the wrong we. Maybe we just got the wrong people. Maybe what we ought to recognize, watch this now. Here's what Bob says. If any two of y'all, okay, so what happens, what we need to face is, maybe we just don't have agreeable people. Maybe we're just working with the wrong people. Maybe we need to look, step back, and say, until we is we ain't going to have nothing. Because if we got a bunch of I's and a bunch of me's, and you just a you and not a us, we ain't going to build nothing. If you look about building, you will notice that everybody in that town liked each other. Look at it. I told you, I went back on Netflix. I just sit there and watch story after story of Bart Bill. Any of y'all got Netflix? You know, Netflix, it just keeps going. And then after a little while, watch this now. And this is another thing I learned. All right, first, let me back up. How many of y'all got Netflix? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, okay. All right, so they'll tell y'all, if y'all, the rest of y'all don't have Netflix. But those who got Netflix know this. If you watch for a long time, what does it do? Huh? Say that. Come on, say it. If you're still watching, it'll make sure that you're still there. And it'll say, are you still watching? And say, do you wish to continue watching Netflix? And watch this. You got to do something. It ain't going to assume you still. If you don't click it, what does it do? It shuts off. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all ain't getting it. If you don't do something, as all this time, and you don't click to say you're still in, it figures you out. And it just shuts down. You can get mad at it all you want to. But it wants to know. And it don't really have a mind. It's just it's a built-in fault. They put it in there. But it'll say, do you wish to continue watching Netflix? Watch this. It don't ask you, do you want to watch ABC? It don't ask you, do you want to watch Amazon or Hulu? It wants to know, are you still with me? Yeah. Boy, y'all. I don't care about Tree of Life Channel. I don't care about White Rock Channel. I need to know if you still with me. Do I still have your undivided attention? Because if you leave the room, yeah, it'll play a while. But after a while, it's going to check. And Deacon Walker, Deacon McKenzie, we ain't been checking. We thought folks were still watching. Still understood the need. We're still flexible. Still in there. Still believed I was their guy. We should have hit the button every now and then and said, you still with me? And watch this. You have to do something. Can't assume that you're watching. We can't assume that you still want a bill, that you still understand the need. It wants to know, do you wish to continue? Here it is. Maybe we're working with the wrong weeds. And the only way you change that is as an individual. You can't make folk your weed. That's called hostage. That's called imprisonment. You can't make nobody love you. You can't make nobody work with you. Because then if you make people do stuff, you better not turn your back. Better not leave them with nothing important. It's called sabotage. It's called strangulation. You have a God who says to you, just find some weed. Find some other person that can agree with you. But watch this. It's got to be about him. They can't agree just about you. The power is in having an agreement about his stuff. He said, if you find anybody, don't mean they ain't got to be super educated, they ain't got to be rich, they ain't got to be glamorous. All you need to find is somebody who says, that God stuff is what I want too. That kingdom life, that's what I want too. That place you're talking about going, that's where I want to go to. Remember last week I gave you all that little quick run, somebody pull them up. Come on, take a ride with me. Once you in the car, that's one step of agreement. Now, if you don't want to go, you got to either jump out or hope they'll pull over and stop. Or keep on talking crazy and keep on being contrary, they'll put you out. Anybody ever got put out? Yeah. Get out. Okay. Bye. You know, and you make other arrangements. I don't care how far you are, y'all miss it. Once I realize you don't want to ride like us, ride with us, you can get out. I'd rather go by myself than go with a contrary person. Contrary people make the trip too long. They take all the fun out of it. How many of you have been in a car trying to talk to somebody they won't talk to you? No matter what station you play on the radio, they don't want to hear that. No matter what the temperature in the car is, they don't like that. You know what you start saying? What'd you come for? You want to get out? I don't want to get out. You got to want to get out. I want to get out, and I'm driving. Weak. Maybe the weak issue needs to be addressed. Can we build? They don't say, can Bob build it? They don't blame Bob. They don't put all that on. They don't say, all right, Bob, you know we need that. Go ahead. We'll be around the corner when you fit. They say, can we? Bob, what you need us to do? We trust and believe you're our guy. We see that there's a need. There's a willingness on our part. Bob, we know you out there, but we will do. If you tell me to go get nails, Bob, I'm going to get nails. If you tell me to go get Gatorade, Bob, I'm going to get Gatorade. Whatever you see that I'm good at, Bob, that's what I'll do. There's flexibility. When Bob says stop, they stop. So here it is. It's right there in front. To do this actively. See, I thought about this. I said, you're a brilliant teacher. But you're teaching over their head. I'm trying to give you strong biblical principles when what I want to really be working on is simple practicality. I ain't run no seminary. It's just regular church folk. So let's just look at it. Let's look. I mean, if this is the need, how do we do that? Teach me how to be a worshiper. Teach me how to be a worker. What do I say to people? How many of y'all ever been in a play, high school play, anything like that? What's the first thing they give you? The script. And then what they do? Huh? They have rehearsals. A lot of them. What happens if you don't come to rehearsal? They kick you out of the play. What happens if you don't get your lines right? They kick you out of the play. Can I tell you something, Deacon Walker, Deacon McKenzie, Trustee Beverly? We've been afraid to kick people out of the play. We're so worried about the production that we don't want to kick, but we ain't got no production. If they don't know their lines, they don't know what to do. We ain't got nothing. That's why we can't get nothing done. And then you got folk won't even come to rehearsal. They won't come to rehearsal. They don't want to learn. This is where we're learning what to say, what to do, how to go out, how to come in. When you were in high school, let's go back to kindergarten. You went to kindergarten. When it came your turn to say your ABCs, if you couldn't say them, watch this. Who was the first person that got mad? You were. Because you couldn't do it. Now, if the teacher had gotten mad, you're out. Because they didn't get mad. They realized, I need to work with you more. Watch this. Watch how quiet I get. Because the people we need to work with more so mad at themselves that we won't work with them because they won't show up to be worked with. But see, you didn't have a choice back then. Your mama said, oh, you're going back. See, now y'all grown. You got grown folk attitudes. I ain't going to no Bible study. He ain't going to tell me what I should be doing. Go tell your boss that Monday morning. How many people you done fired, Deacon Walker? Did you enjoy it? Mm-hmm. Because you realize at some point, if I don't get rid of this joker here, I'm going out of business. I'm going to lose customers. I'm going to lose credibility. I ain't going to have no cash. I can't feed my family. See what I'm saying? So look here. Because don't nobody want to learn. They're mad at me. And they really be mad at themselves. But they don't know no better. All these years. And they don't understand the simplicity of being a disciple. We put that commission up there a few weeks ago. And we keep running it by you. But that's just the crust of it. He said, therefore go. He said, I got the power here. I'm telling you, this is how it's going to work. Therefore go. Now, a lot of times, matter of fact, you can turn to it, but here's what we do. A lot of times, preachers, we're guilty of it. We often been saying it backwards. We've been telling people, go ye therefore. No. That's not what it said. It said, therefore, go. In other words, in light of what I just told you about the meanness of this, here's the you-ness of this. Read it. Go back. Turn to it. Look, he said, listen, I'm telling you now, I've done everything I was supposed to do, everything I was sent to do. He said, now is your turn. Okay. All right. You don't believe me. You're looking at me funny. Here's what he said. I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. You know what God's saying? I run this. I'm the man. I'm your guy. Trust and believe me. Therefore, go. You know what he's saying? You don't talk back to me. You don't tell me you ain't going. You don't tell me you don't understand. He said, I've done everything. I've got all of the power. Here's what kicks me. You want God to use his power when you want a car, a house. You want to get out of the hospital. Oh, Lord, your power, we trust in you, Father. You're able. But then when he's saying, I run things, here's what he said. I will give you pastors whose responsibility to me and mission to you is to teach you in all things. You are to love them, listen to them, be led by them, and we're going to get along just fine. Surgery then. Do your own surgery. See how that work out for you. Yeah. Do your own surgery. See, and you think you're saying, Pastor, that's crazy. And not having a pastor is crazy. How many of you right now, parents, let's work with parents. How many of you parents right now, if something happened to your child, you would do anything you could to find a doctor? You would scream, you'd run outside. If your house was on fire, how many of you run outside? Help, help, help. You do anything. Then why would you let your children not have a pastor? Why would you let your cousin come live with you for a weekend and not come see your pastor? The sick have need of a physician. How many of you ever took somebody to show them your job? Show them your car? Show them your house. Show them your new dress. Come on, talk to me. Then why don't you bring them to your pastor? Bring them to Christ. How can you say Matthew 6:33 and not live it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means bring your children to church too. But again, what if we work with the wrong weeds? Y'all ain't talking to me. People sit up in this ministry and they ain't even sitting up in this ministry. Sometimes I say, Lord, let me call names. Let me point at people. He said, don't do it. You know why? Because then folks, he ain't have to do that. Then when are you going to let me do what I need to do? If you go to the hospital and you bleed like a hog, and you know it always hurt. You're going to look at him and go, you ain't have to do that. Then die. Because you got to get over the pain. You didn't hurt yourself. You didn't fail. Something broke. Don't stick me like that. Don't put that knee. Okay. I don't like needles either. But if they tell me I got an infection and this stuff right here, go, man, stick me twice. I'll cry and get over it. But if even, how many, watch this, parents again. How many of you ever took your child to the hospital, they hurt, and you feel bad? Because the doctor twisted their arm or put, and you almost want to say, oh, don't do that. But you realize that if he don't do what he's doing, I'm going to lose my child. Folks get mad at me when I tell them, don't let your children text. Don't be playing with your phones. Look at me. And then folks get mad. I'm appreciating talking about a child like that. I'm trying to save his life. You want to know why we don't have children in church like we used to? Because folk won't let the pastor do his job. Won't let the Sunday school lady do her job, or the Sunday school leader who bring your child and say, listen, this little disruptive knucklehead here, don't talk my child like that. I don't bring him here for that. Then what'd you bring him for? Because if you brought him to me disobedient, I'm trying to help you. And then you get mad. You already know he a knucklehead. That's why you keep dropping him off. Because you want to get some peace. Because you want him out your house for an hour and a half. Going up there, that lady out there in that van. You won't get on the van because you don't want to have to deal with it. And then we come to you and say, then you really frustrated because you know now I'm stuck with him again. You know, cut that off. Same thing with grown folk. No child becomes a fool without training. Disobedience is an inbreeding. So when we look at our church, and we're not being honest, we don't trust that he's the man. He said, I have been given all the authority in both heaven and earth. How are you going to live anywhere where God ain't in charge? He said, you can go to the mountains, you can go in the valley, but you ain't going to escape me. I'm there. You can go to the east, you can go to the west, you can go to the north. I'm there. You can go to hell. I got that too. He said, all right, everybody looking at me. I've got the authority. And then he said, therefore, I'm telling you to go. So again, here it is. To bring them to Christ so they can be his disciples. Watch this. Within his body. Not in Brookville. You can't be a disciple in a locality and think that's going to cut it. No, you got to be universal. The body of Christ is everywhere. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. See how everybody looking at me. We need to put a big mirror up there so y'all can see how y'all looking at me. It ain't going to change what I'm saying because you roll your eyes at me. And again, I'm trying to help us. Because if we ain't got no we ain't going to do nothing. We ain't got no we. We don't even have us. We divide. We don't touch and agree because, first of all, don't touch me. Don't get close to me. Look how we sit in church. We sit away from people. That's an indicator that, no. How many of y'all have ever gone somewhere and looked for your friend in the crowd? You crook your neck, you look around, and you keep telling y'all, he got to be here. Because what? You want to go be with them. You want to sit with 95,000 people in the stadium, and you stand at the top of the stairwell going, you see him? No. What section they sit in? They in double K. Oh, let go. Oh, excuse me, ma'am. You got your phone? Where y'all at? Hold up something. All right, all right. Because you want to be with us. You do whatever you got to do. We come to church. We. Ain't no we. The Bible says this, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as others are doing. Church ain't got no means being no stuck up crowd. We're stuck together crowd. You have to be my song person, Jesse's AWOL. Sticking like glue instead of loving you, on and on. Sticking like glue to loving you. Y'all don't know the song. Why don't y'all buy a radio? Y'all know I'm going to do these songs. Get a radio so y'all will know. Get Netflix, get XM, Sirius, and go to the groove station. I do old stuff. Sticking like glue, that's what they were saying. Sticking like glue and loving you on and on. We got to do. Sticking like glue. I love Elizabeth. Ain't nobody going to make me not love her. And if my wife get me home and they go, what you mean you love Elizabeth? I'm going to tell her. I love Elizabeth. Elizabeth can call me and say, Pastor, I'm in trouble. Pastor, I'm on my way. I don't care what her husband say. I love Elizabeth because that's my sister. Jasmine can call. Ain't got no business, no single guy. That's my sheep. If that's the way you think, and you think that. Because I can't change how you think. But I know what I'm doing. You ain't got no business riding around talking to that girl up there by herself. You shouldn't be. You think like that. All you telling me is how you think. So I know not leave my daughter with you. You ain't got to worry about leaving your daughter with me. You installed it mighty close. Y'all funny? No. I tell a lot of jokes, though. I am hilarious. But listen, that's my calling. My responsibility to God is to love his people. And whatever they need, that's what we ought to do. Sticking like glue. Ain't nothing going to pull us apart. Because we love each other. Ain't no enemy. Ain't nobody going to come along and take us apart because we love each other. Now, if we don't love each other, The enemy ain't got to work that hard. All they got to do is let you get something new and they get jealous. Or let you go somewhere and they get jealous. Let you become something. And the enemy didn't laugh at us. Because sometimes when we give people new titles and new positions, our friends don't, rather than celebrate with us, they separate from us. Oh, since you're a deacon now, you done change. Oh, since you're in the choir. See, instead of saying, ooh, that's wonderful. You're going to be a better friend. You're going to be a better husband, a better... Encourage each other. Remember, we put it up there. To encourage each other. Amen. Amen. To build each other up in the faith. That's why those gifts were given, to build up the church. I saw it go somewhere. Oh, there it is, right, John. Wait a minute. Oh, I thought that was another church name on there. Okay, you carry on. See what he's saying? He said, listen, you are therefore, because you are a people, back to Matthew 18, who agree. That's what we ought to be doing. But here's the kicker. If you don't even read it, you don't even pay it no mind, you don't even look at it, then you don't know what we're doing. And so there is no willingness. There is no flexibility. There is no sense of urgency. Because you have no, and then rather than saying, can somebody tell me what we're doing, you just persist in the ignorance and defiance that we don't need to get it done. Think about it. He said, if any two of y'all, it don't matter who it is, he said, if you can just agree concerning anything. That's how liberal God is. He said anything. You know, let me tell you this. God not only honors the faithful, but he honors the foolish. No, notice, read that. He said anything. So that means we can come in here and me and Eric can get together, hold hands, and say, Father, we agree that the Dallas Cowboys ought to be the Super Bowl champion. And we just go hold out to that agreement. And the Lord said, that's wonderful, because Eric don't even like the Cowboys. But because his pastor's saying, come on, man, agree with me. He'll say, all right, even though he got one eye open and got his toes crossed. But notice what God said. God said, I'm listening to your foolishness. How many of y'all ever asked God something foolish? How many of you ever called somebody and said, come on, let's agree. That lottery is $600 million. Come on, you, me and you, you ain't held hands with nobody in 6 months. But you say, come on. And you know what? God didn't hit you with a lightning bolt. God didn't take your breath away. He heard you. But here's the key. Things of faith got a whole lot better chance than the things of foolishness. God is saying to us right now, you need to find somebody you can agree with and agree concerning the things that are going to bring me glory. Because, here's my friend, here's my partner right here. Thank you, Jesse. Good grip. Thank you. You got to find, see, instead of y'all coming to church trying to find somebody not to sit by, you need to find you a partner. And you know what? Something struck me the other day. I got an email from a friend of mine, and my friend suggested something, and I prayed about it. I really did. I said, well, Lord, maybe that is the answer. We need to stop putting you with people you are already familiar with and make you make new friends. We need to break up the old gang. You know why? Because as long as y'all been a gang, y'all ain't did nothing. Y'all been a gang for 20 years and ain't did nothing. So may we helping you by saying, don't you sit with her no more. You need to find a new agreement partner. My friend said, Break up the husband and wife teams. They're going to see each other anyway. Break up the brothers and sister teams. And make them find somebody else. And I thought about it. I said, that's what the Bible said. He said, watch this, read the scripture. He said, I have come to set a mother against a daughter, a father against a son. Jesus is saying, y'all ain't going to work like that because y'all kinfolk. I need y'all to find some new folk. Because you can sway easily people that you got authority over. The husband can look at the wife and say, I'm the man. The Bible says I'm the head of the house and you got to be submissive, which he'd be right. But if you take that wife, I know, brothers, thank y'all for coming in right there. I know, brothers, thank you. Eric, I got you, we down, thank you. Larry. I'm moving on to something else. I'll go back to the Ephesian letter in a little while. But love her like you love the Lord. Treat her like a temple. I got it. Yeah, he's right. Because love will do that for you. But however, watch this. My friend in the email said, you need to do that because that might be the breakthrough. Because if you put people together, watch this now. When they agree with you, you can win. But what happens when they get together and disagree with you? You don't have one enemy. You've got two. Because if they go home and say, he done lost his mind, you right. Now you got two people to fight. Whereas if they're separated, one of them may say, but is he so wrong? One of them may say, hey, you signed on. Keep your word. Rather than two of them getting together and say, let's quit. Because what they, watch this now, my friend made me think about this. They have formed a spirit of agreement. But it's counter to what you want to do. So if those two are now agreeing on anything in the earth, and God said, I'll do it, you got a problem. So take brothers and sisters and all, y'all can't be on the committee together. Take a husband and a wife and say, no, you got to go over there, and you go over there. So we can cut down on the resistance. Ain't no talk like pillow talk. Oh yeah. Every married couple in here knows you have saw more stuff laying up at night, can't sleep, and are forced to talk to each other. You hear them breathing. You know there's a difference between sleep breathing and can't sleep breathing. Every married couple knows that breath. Yeah, you know it. And you know one of y'all gonna have to say, you still woke. Amen. And the other one gonna say, why? Well, somebody gotta be brave enough to start the conversation. And so Jesus is saying, if you disagree, then he comes over and says, I've got all the authority. I'm running this thing. I'm your guy. You got to believe in me. Jess, I did a song earlier. You weren't here. Harmony helped me, but they resisted her. Not yet. I did the sticking like glue while I'm loving you on and on. See, that's what I need. That's what I need. That's what I be looking for. I know. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. That's what I need. That's what I need. Ooh, I'm feeling it, Jesse. I got it. And so watch this now. And so what he says is, watch this. He says, all right, if you'll do this. Now, this is the kick. If two of you. Now, let's go back to Bob the Builder. They don't if in Bob the Builder. No if in. I watched all of them episodes. Nobody ever said if. Bob, all right, trust and believe that Bob is their guy. They recognize that there's a need. There is a willingness. There's a flexibility. And there's a sense of urgency. Yes, we can. All right. The Proverb letter. Go to Proverbs. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 3. Old Testament. Slide backwards. Get the Psalms. Pump your brakes. Proverbs chapter 3. Man, this is easy. But I'm trying to help you. Because if I don't help you, I ain't helping me. And I'm tired of not being helped. Now, everybody knows, now, I ain't going to say everybody. That's another thing. Got to stop making assumptions. Just going to deal with stark reality. And so this is what he said. Proverbs 3, verse 5. First word is trust. You know what I discovered in this honest state of mind? A whole lot of y'all don't trust God. Tell you why. You don't know him. You don't know him. How many of y'all saw The Color Purple? Okay. A lot of people saw it. All right, let's look at this scene. Miss Millie told Sophia that for Christmas, she can go home. Miss Millie's driving her Cadillac across town. Now, watch this. It's really a lot of teaching in that, but I can't teach y'all. But anyway, here's the point I want to make. So you notice when Sophia was in the car, Miss Miller didn't drive good then either. No. Not really. Sophia gets out the car, goes up to the porch. Now, notice how everybody receives Sophia. Ain't nobody go, "Whoa, Sophia!" They cold. Don't nobody know what to do. That's Sophia. Been a long time, though. And so they're walking by, nobody don't say nothing. And finally, Harpo holds his hand out and just touched Miss Sophia's hand. And she just kind of touched and gone in. And then she get inside. And they're starting to warm up a little bit. But Miss Millie can't get the car to reverse. Can't get the car in park. Can't get the car in drive. Miss Millie having a problem. And so they out there trying to help Miss Millie. Y'all miss it. It's a lot of lessoning. Sophia is their family. They didn't hug her. They didn't greet. But y'all out there trying to help Miss Millie. They leaning all in the car, about to get run over, falling all out the car, trying to help Miss Millie. Sophia going in the house finally, and they telling this is your mom. Several different things happen. A lot of teaching in this, but I'm just trying to get to my point. So finally, Sophia, rather than paying attention to what's happening with her, recognized that Miss Miller got a problem. She starts walking away from them because Miss Miller got a problem. That's her family. But Miss Millie got a problem. She is indentured to Miss Millie. She's a slave, basically. But Sophia's heart is so big that she goes to help Miss Millie. She ain't got no reason to love Miss Millie. She ain't got no reason to give a ham sandwich. But Sophia's heart is so big. She's been waiting to get home. She there. She right. She can say, "Close the door, let that woman wreck the car. I don't care. The AAA come get her." No. Sophia starts going back outside. So Sophia says, "Miss Millie, what's the matter?" Because Miss Millie will start screaming now. Y'all miss it. She said, "Well, calm down, Miss Millie. What's the matter? They trying to get me." She said, "Miss Millie, ain't nobody going to hurt you. These are my brothers and sisters. These are my family." Miss Millie. Sophia said, they're trying to get me. Sophia said, no. She said, well, my sister, Odessa, she'll squeeze in, right? But watch this. Three things happened right quick. One, when she said, I don't remember the guy. I don't think she really called him that. I think she said Bobo or somebody to ride with you. He didn't say no. When she volunteered Odessa to go, Odessa didn't say no. She said, my sister Odessa will squeeze in. She'll go with you. But Miss Millie says, I don't know them. Okay. What do you say? In all that's happening, Sophia is their guy. Sophia is the catalyst to anything that's going to happen. Miss Millie trusts Sophia. Now here it is. Sophia can't drive. All Sophia does is ride with Miss Millie. What are you saying, Pastor? Sophia is Miss Millie's agreement. All Miss Millie needs is for Sophia to be there. And her confidence goes up. Just sit here. Just be with me. And Sophia says, Miss Millie, they ain't gonna hurt you. So Miss Millie stopped screaming. She said, well, he'll rap. She said, can't rap no black man. Miss Millie, that's what she's saying. And Odessa and the guy don't say nothing because they trust Sophia. They figure if this is what Sophia need me to do, at risk, because now Odessa can say, if she kept you, she'll keep me. But that's what I would have said. And if I was that dude, I'd say, if you think I'm going to ride back with this woman in this here Cadillac, down this here Georgia Road, ain't that much rope in all of Mississippi. You know. You don't ride no black man, no white woman, no Cadillac on Christmas Eve. And then they'll knock Miss Sophia out 10 years ago. No, sir. But anyway, what are you saying? Sophia, they trust her. Miss Millie trusts her. Odessa trusts her. And Sophia ain't got to do nothing but say it. She ain't got to make no deals. She ain't got to promise nobody nothing. All she had to do, and Odessa stood there and was ready to put her foot up on the running. Miss Millie didn't stop screaming. Everybody just waiting on what Sophia going to do. And here's what Sophia does. I told you a lot of preaching in it. Sophia sacrifices her biggest desire. Somebody else. What are you saying, Pastor? Some of y'all selfish. Some of y'all don't want to give up yourself. Don't nobody trust you. You're nearsighted. God has always said to us, trust me. Amen. I will put you in difficult assignments. I will make you have to choose somebody else over you so you can have more of me. Man, y'all ain't getting it. God has always said, trust me. I know you don't see it. You know, you can't understand. You know, every time I watch that movie, it's little parts in there when I sit in my. I know it's Alice Walker's story, and she embellished some things, no doubt. But my point is, there's so much to learn from looking at it. Mister, toward the end of the movie, all that money. He done stole from me his ceiling. And he becomes the only guy that can get back for her what he stole from her. He ran Nettie off. Nettie left so Mr. couldn't get her. And in the end, Mr. is the one that gives Nettie back to Sue. And Sheila didn't know it. She didn't ask for it. His heart got big. She left him. She put the curse on him. But he knew, I owe her that much. What are you saying, Pastor? Some of y'all won't sacrifice for nobody. You owe God that much. All you have denied him, all you have not done that you told him you were going to do, you owe him sacrifice.
Yes.
And it's time for sacrifice. It's time for some of us to trust God, not half-heartedly. Because a half-heart ain't no heart at all. He says, you need to make my priorities your priorities. What about to bring me my people? God don't care about what you drive. He gave it to you. Ain't no big deal. You think any car is going to help? God don't care about no cars. God don't care about your houses. He said, I'll build them for you. He said, I'll give you anything that your heart desires, but you have to trust me with your whole heart. Oh, come on, y'all. It ain't that hard. Some of y'all lack because you don't trust him with your heart. You asking God for stuff without faith, and then wonder why he won't give it to you. He said, listen, trust me with your whole heart. I'll give you anything your heart desires. Make me first all the time, and you'll never be last. Just trying to tell you. You do all my stuff, and watch what happens every day. Jesus said this. Man said, Lord, we'll follow you everywhere you go. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. But did you see Jesus having sleep disorder? Did you ever hear Jesus complain about his accommodations? That statement he makes is not really a complaint. He's bringing to them an awareness of what it means to be with me. How many of you ever gone anywhere with somebody, been asked to go somewhere, and say you're going to go 2 or 3 days? What's one question you always ask? Where are we going to stay? Where are we going to stay? You know why? Because you want to be comfortable. And they say, well, we're going to stay at my cousin's house. We say, I don't know your cousin. And I ain't sleeping in no house with people I don't know. I'll get me a room. What's the nearest hotel? I remember one time, my wife, I love her. Lord knows. But her family had a reunion on her daddy's side. Well, Jesse, the problem is her daddy's family live out in Plum Nelly. Ain't no Marriott's, no Hilton's. The place that's where I stay. I'm a member of all them places. I'm a member of Hilton, Marriott. I got all my little cards, Jesse. So when I go, I get my little discounts over on the side. Them my sport cards. Yeah. Over here, outside. You know, I'm a member, priority member. Got a little gold card there, a little gold card for Hilton, priority club for Holiday Inn. I stay in nice places. So she said, honey, we going to a reunion. I said, okay, let me look up a hotel. First problem was, when she named the town, it didn't come up in Google. If it don't come up in Google, you shouldn't be there. That means they ain't going to be able to find us if it go down. So I put extra ammo in the car. I took 4 pistols with me. You know, because if we down there like that, you know, I had my ankle pistol, I had my hip pistol, my bag. She said, what is wrong with you, boy? I said, don't nobody know us down here. We showing up in an Escalade out here. I ain't walking home. So anyway, so ain't no Hilton, no Hyatt, no none of that, Larry. You know, Starlin, I know you stay like me. So They had a motel called the Majestic. My truck bigger than the roof. I said, you know, my father-in-law said, oh, don't worry, we got the room. My brother-in-law, don't worry, Mike, we got all the rooms set up. I said, man, where y'all found? No, we good. I said, all right. We get there, and there's the Majestic. I said, where we? Soon as I get to the thing, I said, where the hotel at, man? You see, right, you had to pass it. I said, I said, what I pass can't be the hotel. He said, it was called the Majestic. I said, that's a movie with Charles Bronson in it. I said, no, man. I said, it's got to be a hotel somewhere. So I go to the dash. They got a little Indian dude in there. I'm making a point. Y'all stay with me. Little Indian dude in there. Can I help you? I said, where's the nearest motel? He said, the motel. I said, no. The other motel. He said, the day's in. It's 22 miles. I said, on my way. I told my wife, I said, 22 miles is easy. I said, whatever they have, we'll just drive back and forth. She said, are you kidding? I said, oh, yeah. I don't like Days Inn, but when I got to the Days Inn, it was like hill. I said, yeah, this is, I closed my eyes. I mean, you know, it was a little different. And so we got in, put our stuff down. And they said, you drive back and forth like that. I said, yeah, man. I said, because I can't be somewhere I'm not comfortable. And I can't put my family in a motel where they still got little latches with the chain thing. I'm serious. They ain't had no lock on the bottom door, just a little chain. I said, no, this don't work. So I told y'all stay here if y'all want to, but I got to take care of my family. I gotta be. It wasn't about being bougie. No, well, some bougie in there, but I said, no, I gotta make sure I'm all right. Where I'm staying matter. Where I pray my now lay me down to sleep, I got to be able to go to sleep. You know, that prayer don't say, Lord, keep me up all night. No, you stay up, Lord, because you don't sleep nor slumber. I got to go. So my point is, we all want to know where. We want to know where we're comfortable, where we're trusted. So God is saying, trust me with your whole heart, and I'll give you anything in your heart. And he tells us, he says, now, watch this. Read the next verse, though. Verse 6 is critical. Because verse 6 says, I love this. Anybody there? Y'all show? Seek my will in all you do, and I will put you on the right path. Now go and tie that into Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things. We are travelers. We need to pick path. Jesus said this. Don't pick the wide gate. Pick the narrow one. So the proverb Solomon says, if you put God's will first. Good morning. Welcome to Brookville. I know you're a first time visitor. Thank you for coming by. You have a God who's saying to you, trust me. Let me lead you. Oh, Reverend, you messed that up. Trust me, because I love you. Let me lead you. Listen to me, because I love you. Let me lead you. Listen to me. And he's saying, you got to come after me. You can't sit around saying, well, if the Lord wanted this, he'd have done that. If the Lord, no, he said, you got to seek me. Jesse, how many of y'all ever looked for something? Some of y'all ain't never looked for that? You know, set up is some good. How many of y'all ever looked for something? Okay, still, some of y'all ain't voting. Everybody looks for stuff, right? Okay, when you look for something, all right, let's back up. How many of you remember when you were a child and you lost something? Your mama said these magic words. You better find it. And y'all had that happen? You better find it. I'm saying, you know, how many of y'all remember in high school you had to buy that T83 calculator? That $90 calculator back in the day? And so you lost it. And you said, Mama, I couldn't do my homework. She said, what calculator? The one we bought from Radio Shack? The one your daddy paid $100 for? You better find it. And then down south they say stuff like, if you can't find it, you better make one. But they were a little more graphic with it. But they said, you better make one. All right? And so what happened? Watch this now. What happens? How many of y'all say that y'all had it happen? That your mom told you that? What happened when she told you that? Okay. So that means, watch this. Everything else you were going to do, that's off the table. And she'll say stuff like this. You better not go nowhere. Did you leave the house? No. And she say, you better not get on the phone. You better not. And well, Laura ain't here yet. She says stuff like this. Don't you breathe till you find. Y'all been told that? You better not breathe till you find. Don't sleep. Don't eat. Don't go nowhere. And you know what happened? You did it. So what happened? You start looking for it, right? How long you look for it? All right. Watch this. If your mama can tell you to seek something, and you get that tenacious about it, why can't God? Your mama ain't God. God said, go get my people. God said, come after me. God said, look for me. And you gonna go and do other things and you ain't found him yet? How many been told it? And don't come back? And you did. How many of y'all, watch this, how many of y'all ever had that thing backfire on you? Because you didn't come back, stayed gone too long, and mama said, where you been? And you said, you told me don't come back till I find it. I didn't find it, so I didn't come back. And mama said, oh, you playing with me. Oh, so you think you see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, you had to shift your priorities. And even in shifting the priorities, it becomes problematic, watch this, when you don't perform to expectation. But see, we treat God like it ain't gonna be problematic. God told us to, watch this, go to Matthew 28 one more time. We started at 9:30 now, Vicki. We start a little earlier because they say I needed more time. They are right, I do. Go to Matthew one more time, 28. Go watch this. Matthew 28, 19, 20, 20, 18, 19. He says, therefore, go. And make disciples. Teaching them. Watch this. Come on, Chris. I know you can do it. Dig it up. Go. Don't come back without. He said, I want you to do this. See how quiet everybody is? We just looked at Proverbs 3 and 5. He said, trust me with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. How many of you are honest enough to admit that Christianity came with its own set of complications? There's some stuff God said to you like, what? God want me to do what? I got to do what? Love my neighbor. I don't like them people. I don't know them people. Give 10% of my income. I just landed this job. Come on, complication. Jesus says, go and make disciples. He didn't say they're going to show up perfect, ready to be churchy. You got to make them. He didn't say you get to pick people based on how they smell and how they look, what they drive. He said you got to go grab anything, everything, hedges, highways, low places, high places, high income, low income, projects, palaces, and make them. It's right there. Watch this. He said, I've got all the power. I got all the authority in heaven and on earth. You live here. You're trying to get there.
That's right.
That's all amen. I said, you live here. You're trying to get there. Okay, some of y'all still don't get there. I said, you live here. You're trying to get there. He's up there pointing out down here. He said, and so what I want you to do is make disciples of any of them and every of them. I know that's a real word. But I said it. I'm going to say any of them and every of them. Watch this. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how God. somebody live.